Singapore, a young, vibrant, and cosmopolitan country, celebrated her 42 years of independence on 9 August 2007 with a national theme, City of Possibilities. Located at one of the crossroads of the world, Singapore's strategic position has helped her grow into a major entrepot and financial center for trade, communications, and tourism. Today, Singapore proudly owns the world's busiest port, best airport, and best airline. Singapore is also well known around the world as a garden city. Though there are many glittering skyscrapers, there are a lot of green trees and beautiful plants along the roadsides and around the island. This is attributed to the continuous effort of the Singapore government in planting trees and plants. Singapore's uniqueness stems from her harmonious blend of race and culture. The immigrants of the past have given her a mixture of Malay, Chinese, Indian, and European. Each racial group has its own distinctive culture, and there are colorful festivals of special significance all year round. Although the festivals are special to certain races, it is nonetheless enjoyed by all. With open attitude towards spirituality, sincere truth seekers in Singapore thus invited Supreme Master Ching Hai to share her knowledge and wisdom in several occasions. We now invite you to listen to Supreme Master Ching Hai's lecture entitled Surrendering to God's Will is Freedom, delivered on March 9, 1993 in Singapore.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much for your love. How many would like me to speak English? Please raise your hand. Oh. English more or Chinese more? What shall I do? Okay, now, please, one of you step up, and if you win, I speak Chinese. If I win, I speak English. Okay, come up. One, two. Now we have to to see who wins. If I win, I speak English. She wins, and then Chinese. All right. Now everybody see, I'm very fair. Now one,
two,
one, two,
three.
Three.
Oh,
I win. I win. Oh, that's what we have to do sometimes when I cannot win all of you people. I do that to my disciples also, so they don't complain that I am taking side or prejudice. Now, we have many, this is prejudice, right? Many so-called preconceived ideas about life, about enlightenment, about religions, about how we should lead our life, about how a religious people should be, about how an enlightened master should lead his life or her life, about how she or he should dress, should eat, should speak even. I had also many preconceived ideas before and after enlightenment as well. Before, of course, more. After a little bit of enlightenment, it will be less. And it will become less and less each day. God made me more humble each day, until I have no more of my ideas left, except God's idea. And I have to do absolutely what He wants. Just like you, I had to learn by mistakes. Since long, I learned to give up protesting also, because I know it's no use. Sooner or later, God will have His own will and make you do it whether you like it or not. You do it today or you do it tomorrow, The sooner you get over with it, the better. That is all. It's just like we own somebody some debt. And then whether you pay it today or you pay it tomorrow, you will have to pay. And maybe you pay faster, less interest. If you delay your payment, you have to pay more due to the interest rate. So since then, I learned to be more humble and obedient to the will of heaven. And sometimes, in doing so, have also some of the misunderstanding from the people. But I cannot do anything else except to go through this. Yes. What I like or not like, it doesn't matter anymore. And whether I have a good reputation or bad reputation of that, I cannot choose any longer. In that case, you would ask me, well, we thought after enlightenment, we become free. Yeah, we can do what we want and very freely decide what we do in our life. Yes, we are free. Very much free. Because we don't take any more responsibility upon our shoulder. Everything is arranged by the providence. And we absolutely have no fear of doing whatever is arranged for us to do. In that way, we are absolutely free. Then we know the will of providence. We know the plan of the universe, and we can go along with it smoothly, without any hindrance, without any hard feeling or protest in our heart. Before that, we also do the will of providence, but we don't know it. Also, we protest a great deal. We make a lot of noise, and we delay our duty and action because we thought it would be better tomorrow, it would be better to do that instead of this. Because what we're supposed to do, this, we don't like it. We thought we do the other way, it would be better because it's more suitable to our habitual thinking or preconceived ideas. After a great deal of trouble and lessons, we will have to surrender at last to the will of the Most High. Call you Buddha nature, the Almighty God, or in whatever name that you see fit to worship the Most High. Sometimes we think we are the doer in this world, and therefore we take all the whole burdens upon your shoulder. That's why we get exhausted, we get tired, and then we get nothing done sometimes. If we get enlightenment, we know how to use the greatest power which is already provided within us, from which we came and also to which we will return, and in which we live our life. Then we will have less confusion, less and less each day, until no more confusion left in our heart, except to do the will of the Almighty. Jesus Christ also mentioned that, I do, yes, but not I, it's the Father in me who does it. And Hinduism always mentioned that not I, but thou. Every religion mentioned the same. I don't want to demonstrate my knowledge of different religions. Therefore, I mention just a few. Please forgive me if I have not mentioned your religion, like the Sikhism, the Islam, the Buddhism, etc., Taoism. I have studied them all with reverence and sincerity since my childhood. And I can say I understand most of the famous religions. That's why I know that all religions point to the same truth, which is within us, point to the same supreme master power which we possess. The only difference is that sometimes we forgot to look to this supreme master power inside. And instead, we worship the supreme master of the past, or we go to the church to worship God. The church, outside church or mosque or temple, are the symbol of kingdom of God within us, which are built to remind us of our own temple, which Jesus say, "Know you not that you are the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit lives within you." If God resides within us, if the Buddha nature is within us, then it is very obvious that we must look for it within ourselves. Is that not so? Or where shall we look? Shall we look it on the wall? Or on the poster of the Master Qinghai there? Or shall we look on the ceiling to find God? Look where? Inside, right? But most of the people have not been shown the way how to look inside. Inside the kidney or the liver or the heart. It is not the material level that Jesus or Buddha meant to point to us. It is the super consciousness within us. I have not enough words to praise this super power, which loves and nourishes all things without even ever mention or murmur one word. The worldly power we do have, and the worldly people can do many miraculous things also. But then everyone knows about it. Everyone remember the heroes, the great kings, or the great benefactors of mankind when he or she does some good deeds or charitable organizations. But we forgot to remember the great charity, the greatest loving power which nourishes, sustains the whole universe. And in every scripture mentioned that we have this power, even we possess this power, that God lives within our heart, that the Buddha is inside us. We all read that, but we don't know how we can be so great. How come we, such an ordinary person, become so great? God has made me a very humble person, a very possessive person of shortcomings, became a vehicle in order to let me know that everyone can become one with God, in order to let me reassure you that you, who are better than me, could even become one with God quicker. That is the only reason why you saw me, if any shortcomings I have. If the dress I wear doesn't please you, doesn't satisfy your expectation, or anything I do at all doesn't measure up to your high standard. That's the only reason. Because in God's eyes, everyone is His children. Everyone is great. And so often, I have this experience that truly everyone is greater than I am. And how come God chose such a humble person, this very imperfect person, to become His vehicle? I often ponder over this. And then later I know, just so that I truly understand how to be humble, how to know that there are many other people much better than me, and they are, of course, can be one with God. If such a person like me can become one with God, then everyone else can be. That's the only reason God has chosen me. You understand? Thank you so much. in the process of enlightening each day after initiation, we have come to learn many great lessons through mistakes, through our own prejudice, our own preconceived opinions about other people's actions and other people's appearances and way of life. Before enlightenment, of course, I have also criticism in my mind. I have also dislikes and likes about how other people should live their lives. And I have my opinions about many things in this world, even those that doesn't concern me and doesn't harm me and has nothing absolutely to do with me at all. And that's how we have been busy our life with. And after being so tired out, we're criticizing the world and trying to make people right, I have come to realize that I'm the only one that should improve. And everything else will be all right. God make us learn by mistakes and by lessons and by other people, other people's examples. That's why I think the old Chinese proverb said that when we walk with two other persons, or three persons, one of them, at least one of them, will become our teacher, or worth it to be our teacher. It is a truth that I have learned up to now. Because even other people's mistake also strikes some memories within us and also reminding us of something that we might have done in the past and that we should never forget them and should learn from that to improve ourselves. And then we should never criticize other people. Actually, enlightenment comes by practice and in dealing with other people. But in my heart, God makes me more humble each day to learn from each situation and to accept everything as the will of the providence. In this way, I'm freer. I'm freer than before when I try to take care of the whole world. An American philosopher, Emerson, he wrote like this in one of his books. A great burden falls from our shoulder if we let God run the universe. But we always run everything. And we run God as well. Is not so? Yes, yes, yes. Look at our prayers. Yeah? We come to the temple or we come to the church and we dictate immediately, "Oh God, please make my business more lucrative, please. You punish my that little child because he's not very brave. Please, my wife is spending too much money. Tell her to stop it." And please, one thing and another. Yes, I did the same thing. I did the same thing. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at myself, at my own foolishness. When I try to tell God what to do, even to make me pass driver license. Yeah, I would bother Jesus and get angry with him because he didn't let me pass the first time. Yes, we had to learn through all this. It's okay to make mistakes. It's all right to be different and to choose different religions. As long as you study very deep into your own religious scriptures and know what your religion wants to teach you, you're all right. I think that the church and the temples are a very holy, sacred symbol of our devotion to God. And every time we pass through a church, a mosque, or the temple of any religion, we should truly remind ourselves of the reverence we have for this symbol of worship. But it probably would be better if the people who come to these temples, churches, or mosques truly can find their God within this temple also. Not only in the brick temple, but in the true temple of God. I thought it would be much better. I have never read newspapers or watched television's news. Well, I don't say never, but very seldom, except when I am on aeroplane, 13 hours, 15 hours, 20 hours, you know what it's like. And then I watch them or look at the news. And every time I look at the news, there's not much in it. There's no good news. Very less good news and more bad news. Isn't that not true? Yes? You read newspapers every day. You know, is that not true, sir? Yeah. Some good news in it, no doubt. But bad news is so much. That sometimes I thought it is better even that I didn't read newspapers. I don't do it out of habit or out of detest for newspapers. It's just because I just did not feel I need to read it. It's just like some of the clothes you don't feel you need wearing, or some of the household items that you don't need to have in your house. Each one is different. But even then, I knew something from the world. I just know. I just know. And sometimes act accordingly, according to the world, situation, and also the development of the whole planet. Therefore, I'm not very much out of date. But then I started to read more newspaper regularly since I'm in Singapore. So please, the new media, don't be angry at me. I start to read now. I do not advocate people not to read newspapers. It's just that I have not read them before. Yeah, very seldom. I started a couple of days since I'm in Singapore, I read newspapers. And it was kind of very depressing mood when you read about the news in the world with many unsolved problems. And the government of all nations try their best all the time to improve the environment of their country as well as the neighboring. And also they try their best to negotiate with one another, and even those who have not been in a well relationship before truly try sincerely to make up with each other and to improve each other's standard of living. And that is very good. But even then, according to newspapers, news, there is very, very less hope than we expect. And the things are done in such a slow way that sometimes the people of the nations feel frustrated, and that they demonstrate on the street and then they protest this kind and another. But on the general outlook, I think the world has improved a lot. Don't you think so? Is that not so? We have now very less conflict between the theology of different nations. And so each nation are trying very hard now to come with each other. And this is a good thing. But even then, I was thinking while reading this news that actually we all need enlightenment if we truly want to settle the affair of the world. Therefore, I was also somewhat enlightened after thinking like that. I thought, I know why God made me do this and that and other, including wearing beautiful clothes. So that we may come back to the golden era where everyone is beautiful, graceful, and doing things nicely but effectively, leisurely but very, very successfully, where we don't need to always run around in our jeans and eating sandwich on the road to work, or having a quick cup of coffee just to gulp it down to wake ourselves up before work, etc. maybe we should think and dream a golden dream again. Maybe we should go back to the golden era of ancient time, where God and human lived together, where all the fairies can talk to us in our own language and can instruct us a better value of life, where everyone look upon enlightenment and wisdom as a very natural way of living, that no one will doubt a master like Jesus when he came to earth to grace our world, and no one would ever criticize another great human being like that again. And no one would ever doubt in his heart about any master who graced our earth, because the masters are ourselves. I would very much hope that this dream will come true, and that every one of us became goddess, god, fairy. And then our planet will shine with the halos of all of the earthians who have been enlightened, wise, graceful, and beautiful. We have been living in rags and poverty for a long time. I think we deserve to enjoy some of the golden atmosphere, the beautiful royal style of high standard of living, in which everyone is graceful, royal, beautiful, like queens and kings of the ancient time. And their dignity, their virtues, is fit to be God. I do not see why we have to represent poverty. God make me see different. You see, you should represent glory of heaven, at least some symbol of glory and grace. Because all the fairies of heaven are beautiful and graceful. The Guan Yin Bodhisattva is beautifully adorned with all kinds of jewelries and beautiful dress. And even when we ascend to heaven, we saw glory, richness, everlasting happiness, joyfulness. And nothing is like our earth, nothing at all. So even if we want to have access to heaven, we do it from inside. But maybe we also do it from the outside. And why not? Most people can only see from outside. So we start from outside. And whatever we can reconcile inside, of course, people will feel it. People will smell it. People will accept it from their wisdom. Because we cannot cheat one person's wisdom, because that's the best judge, the most intelligent, the most correct judgment. We may be able to cheat people outside, but not inside. Therefore, sometimes we found in our experience in life that we are doing some transaction, and we have been very cleverly design a scheme of cheating the opponents in order to win a little bit more share of possession to ourselves. But then we would be surprised to see how can we cannot deceive them. If plan, somehow the plan is corrupted, canceled, that we could not access to our wish. It is because the inner God, the inner wisdom, understand it. And if it is in chest, and if it's not in our store of karma, then it cannot be carried out. So actually, sometimes we see injustice in this world, but actually it's not always absolutely injustice. It is probably that we have done something unjust in our past, previous experience on earth. Therefore, now we have to reap it in order to learn our lesson. Just like in the Bible say, as you sow, so shall you reap. Many things on earth cannot be rearranged for the better benefit of mankind if we don't use wisdom. If we only use our own power of the computer brain, then we can do something, but not the perfect thing, not the complete thing, according to the will of heaven. Because we have not complete wisdom. We have not rediscovered our own complete wisdom. Therefore, we sometimes resist the will of heaven. Therefore, we do things in a clumsy way or in a resisting way. Therefore, we have not carried out our duty in a perfect manner. If, therefore, we got enlightenment, and then we truly see the whole picture with our wisdom, not with the human brain, huh? Then we do things just naturally, automatically correct. Even we don't know why we did it, but it always turns out correct. This is why we need enlightenment. This is why, since ancient time, all the sages, the saints, encourage us, emphasize us, that seek you first the kingdom of God, and all the things shall be added unto you. This is why the ancient Chinese wise sages say, you first improve your own self, and then you can take care of the whole family, and then you can govern the country, and then you can pacify the whole world. 修身齐家治国平天下。 Therefore, I love loneliness, as I have confessed to you last night. But God made me come out and do this seeing multiple people business against my will, my obstinate will. But now I have accepted it fully, and I shall do whatever there is. As long as my body is fit, my mind is in order, and that I can drag myself around the world and share this message with you, I will do it. One of the journalists in Indonesia interviewed me. He said, why do you become this kind of business manager? Instead of enjoying life just like every other fortunate woman who has husband take care of her, enjoy the family's life and very peaceful and ordinary and very routine life, which is better for a woman. This I agree, because that's why since ancient time, most so-called enlightened master is men. It's more suitable. It's a tough job. I know now. I didn't know it before. If I know it before, I would say to God, no, you kill me, I don't do it. But he cheated me. He let me do it halfway before I know everything. It's all right. He always does that to every master. Anyhow, so I said to the journalist, yes, I agree with you. Yes, now I know. It would be better to stay at home, being just a loving housewife, take care of your husband, and be obedient to his will, his wish, and then your life become more comfortable, more happy, and just peaceful. No one attack you. Or no one loves you, only your husband. It would be better. But it is the will of the providence, and I cannot do nothing absolutely about it, even if I want to. Sometimes I revolt, yes, I make revolution with God. So I quit all the disciples, everything. I went to the mountain again, not Himalaya, but somewhere. Mountain, and then I live alone. I wear just very simple, kind of very old clothes, patching everywhere. It is better, so you don't have to take care and iron very fussily about it. You know, you just put it in a bucket and use your foot to stamp on it. And then you empty it and put it in, and you get it in the river 3 times and you throw it on the stone and then it will be dry in no time. It's a very beautiful life and carefree. So sometimes I do that for a couple of months, but then he drag me out again. He say, enough is enough. You are not coming here to enjoy. You are here to do my work. So I say, all right, I'm coming out. Something like that, yes? God can be funny also. He's not a person, but he's very funny. I have so much idea today that I forgot most of it, because it comes so fast. In this world, things are so slow, even if we speak out. The idea is already was there, and it takes too long to express it into language.
We are honored to have you with us today on Words of Wisdom. Please tune in tomorrow for part 2 of Surrendering to God's Will is Freedom. And now, a journey through aesthetic realms, coming up next on Supreme Master Television, right after Noteworthy News. May your heart be filled with joy and tranquility.